Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
47 episodes, 52 years, approximately 50 albums, and here we are. I'm a little bit lost for words. We're in 2020, same year as this episode is coming out, and we are talking about the most recent year of Dolly Parton's career. I always get too emotional, so don't judge me, but this is my... I just messed it up after all these episodes. My name is Justin Kirkland, and this is my year with Dolly. Welcome back to my year with Dolly. This is the season finale of the first quite long season of the My Year With series, because if you guys have not been listening to the larger Bramble Jam family, we will come back for a season two. We are currently thinking about what that is going to look like, but we will come back to talk about somebody else, but right now this is not about anybody else but Dolly Parton. This is the season finale of My Year With Dolly. It is a podcast that I started back in January of this year because I wanted to take a year and listen to all of Dolly Parton's music, learn all about her life, and then bring it to you guys approximately 1 year at a time. We have been, like I said, going since I think the second week of January, and at the time that we started, I didn't realize just how big Dolly's 2020 would be. Which makes this episode really interesting, because I think that that is such a testament to why I wanted to do the podcast. Dolly is this incredible public figure that has constantly been in the zeitgeist. I hate that word, don't you? She's constantly been in people's ear for the past half a century, putting out new music and movies and musicals and spreading the good word of God and Jesus and science and everything in between, and she's done it in such a public way, so that's what I wanted to dive into. A little bit about me, if you're starting at 2020, and this is your first episode, A, you skipped everything, but B, I grew up in East Tennessee. I live in Brooklyn now as a writer, but I'm really proud to call Knoxville home. In a weird way, I think that I've learned more about appreciating where I'm from this year than I have throughout my entire life. I grew up about 20 minutes away from where Dolly grew up, right outside of Knoxville, I guess. And I always felt like I had this kinship, because even though Knoxville is such a special place, East Tennessee as a whole is a special place, I always had this itch to leave. And so did Dolly. And I think that part of what drew me to her is that the itch to leave was never about going somewhere else so that we could leave East Tennessee behind. In a weird way, it was about going somewhere else so that we could take this place that we loved with us. So it has been an absolute honor to sit down and go over her career, her entire life, and learn so much about somebody that I've known my entire life. You know, when you're in elementary school and you learn how to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and it gets to a point where you put your hand over your heart and you almost forget what you're saying because it becomes such a habit. I kind of feel like that's the place that I'd gotten to with Dolly. And as you listen to the episodes of this season, I think it becomes evident that I earn a new respect for her. Earn a new respect? Is that the correct way to say that? I developed a new respect for her in a way that I don't think that I'd ever really known before. It feels really weird to say this at this point, but since we are going to have a season two, please, if you've enjoyed the podcast, find us on Apple Podcast. Give us a little comment, rate, review, subscribe, because we will come back. The one thing that I hope that you have learned about me is whether you like me or not, I will continue to bother you. It is something that I really pride myself on. Enough about me, because God knows I'm going to be emotional throughout the rest of this episode. But the focus of this last one is a little bit of reflection, a little bit of Christmas, and a little bit of 2020. Like I was saying, Dolly's 2020 has been just absolutely off the charts, incredible for the way that people have come to know her. For the longest time, I think that the musical craft of Dolly Parton had begun to slip a little bit in a lot of people's minds. If you were a fan, you knew that it was rooted in there. But in terms of grabbing new people and bringing them into this big Dolly fold, I feel like there had been a little bit of a stalling in terms of new music coming out. But you did have songs like Jolene and 9 to 5 that continue to have the shelf life that just recycles and recycles and recycles. So that's what people had really come to know her for. But in 2020, it's like she had stepped up as kind of this every grandmother figure who was there to offer you a little bit of a musical, a little bit of personal history, and then also, you know, fund a research project for a pandemic like we haven't seen in over a century. She is multifaceted in that way. So that's what we're going to end up tackling this week. We're going to talk about what Dolly has done for the, you know, the greater part of us in America and throughout the world, and how she carries that legacy forward. If you haven't caught on, this is the first episode since the very beginning that I have decided not to script, which is absolutely terrifying because I feel like I'm going to ramble. But at this point, if I don't know Dolly well enough to communicate everything that she's done this year to you, then I haven't done my job. However, I do have a cheat sheet, because you guys know that every time that I sit down, there are a couple things that I always repeat. To kick off each episode, we started this, I feel a little bit like halfway through. When it comes to 2020, time is irrelevant to me, so I don't know when this started, but we started throwing in a little quote at the beginning to kick off each episode, and to give you a taste of who Dolly Parton is, I am going to go back and give you a quote that I think that I've already dropped in an episode past. This year, Dolly did a profile with Rolling Stone magazine, and of course, if y'all were paying attention at all, you know that this June there were big protests for Black Lives Matter. And Dolly, who is famously apolitical, was asked about Black Lives Matter in an interview, and she said, "I understand people having to make themselves known and felt seen. And of course Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No." With that said, let's kick off this episode. This is the part that I'm going to cheat on, so we're going to let me slide on this. The quickest of rundowns for the last time this season, when it comes to how our episodes go, we typically have four parts. A year in review, where we'll do a sweeping look at a year in Dolly's life. This year happens to be this episode. A deep dive, where we take one part of that year and we break it down. We do an album review. This time you guys get a triple threat. We are going over Dolly's three Christmas albums. And then we have some parting words from someone whose life has been affected by Dolly. This week, it's just going to be me. I'm going to wax poetically. I might cry a little bit, because that's what I do. And y'all can judge me for it as you will. Please keep in touch in the hiatus. Feel free, because I did not plan this out far enough, you can email myyearwithdolly@gmail.com. I love reading your messages. I know we didn't get every Dolly story out this season, but I want you to know that I read each of them, and I'm so grateful for your submissions. It has been a really cool privilege getting to know you guys through this podcast, and I'm happy to have a few friends floating out in the world with me. So, those are the ground rules. Let's talk Dolly in 2020. Keep your hands and feet inside the roller coaster car. Be nice, and let's roll. The year is 2020. This is your year in review. Okay, like I said, Dolly had quite a massive 2020. When I was putting together the things that have happened over this past year, I can't tell you how many profiles that she did. And of course, a lot of those profiles are full of the Dollyisms that we've come to know and love. It takes a lot of money to look this cheap. If something is sagging, bagging, or dragging, I have it nip, tucked, and sucked. Plucked? One of those words, I can tell you what uck word it isn't, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, she had these countless profiles, New York Times, Rolling Stone, this collection of what Dolly is doing this year. And it's so extensive because in 2020, she just came out with a bang and decided that she was going to be everywhere. One of my favorite projects that she's done this year is this beautiful coffee table book that's on sale now called Songteller. It features all these backstories to some of her greatest hits. It's words that Dolly has written, with the help of an editor, but it's this gorgeous book full of photographs and the lyrics to all these songs and a little bit of an idea of where her head was at when she was writing them. She had this complete resurgence, like I was saying, as a public figure this year, and I knew early on when we talked to My Year with Dolly guest, Mary Lane Haskell, that she would be coming out with Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. It's a Netflix musical directed by Debbie Allen, starring Christine Baranski, Dolly Parton, Mary Lane Haskell, Jennifer Lewis, Treat Williams. It's stacked top to bottom. If you guys haven't heard it, the crossover episode of My Year with Dolly and Deck the Hallmark podcast does a rundown of that musical. I personally loved it, but I have a giant bias. It was way over the top in everything that we come to love about Dolly. Full camp, a whole slate of new music, and if she doesn't end up nominated for some type of Emmy for it, I will be stunned. Like I mentioned in the quote before we started the year in review, she had this giant Rolling Stone profile where she has a new famous quote where she said, and of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No. And I really paused on this interview because at this point in Dolly's career, she is 74 years old. I think I just got that right. Oh gosh, I got it right. I know myself at this point. She's 74 years old. She's had this prolific career that has lasted over a century, and it would be so easy to retreat, especially considering how apolitical she's been. But something that I think has really got lost in our world's mindset is when we take things that are human rights and we politicize them. And I think that's what you're seeing from Dolly here. Dolly doesn't look at something like Black Lives Matter as a means of falling to the right or the left. She looks at it as taking care of people. And I think that's really what ended up coming through in her 2020. To end this podcast as a coda to her life that has been lived is to miss who Dolly Parton is. So much of what has defined this year for her is defining who she is as a person, not just as an entertainer or a songstress, but as someone who has agency and relevancy in our world and what you can do with it. I think we'll talk about it here a minute in the deep dive, because the deep dive this week is all about how she contributed to pandemic research. But at the beginning of this year, when the pandemic really started breaking out, she posted this video on her social media, and it's one of those weird moments where I just kind of remember where I was at when I watched it. She was standing on her stairs, and she was just speaking openly about COVID, and she sang this little song about how God was going to scare the H-E-double-L out of us, or COVID was going to scare it, but God was going to take care of us. And I think that's what she wanted to do this year, in a time where maybe she couldn't travel or tour. She made a Christmas album to keep us entertained. She told us that God loved us, and she put her money where her mouth was and contributed $1 million to COVID research. Dolly doesn't have to do that. She could have stayed completely behind the scenes and called it a day, and yet here we are talking about her in this kind of bleak year more than we ever have before. So before we get into this pandemic talk, because I promise you it's not going to be nearly as depressing as it sounds, go grab yourself a drink, get yourself a snack or something. I'm going to take a little sip of La Croix, and I'll join you back here in just a few minutes to talk pandemic, Christmas albums, and give you a little rundown of where my heart is as the season comes to a close.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, hey, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me again. This is what happens when we don't script things. I sound like a full crazy person. What I wanted to talk to you guys about for this year's deep dive is, of course, how Dolly donated $1 million to COVID research earlier this year. The way that it started is that she donated this money in April to Vanderbilt University for COVID-19 research. Just $1 million. Go and get it started. And if you had paid attention to Dolly's past few years or heard it through this podcast, it connects to Dr. Naji Abumrad, whose relationship helped inspire the podcast Dolly Parton's America, hosted by Jad Abumrad through Radiolab. Radiolab, oh my gosh, every time I talk about that podcast, I end up botching something to do with it, and I swear it sounds like it's directed, but it's not. Anyways, Dolly contributed this $1 million kind of nest egg for Vanderbilt University to get started on research. And then she released that message I was telling you about, where she told everybody that she was sitting in the same place that they were, absolutely terrified of COVID, but she knew that God would get us through it. Her donation ended up helping fund the first stage of research and became known as the Dolly Parton COVID-19 Research Fund, which is kind of incredible when you think about it. And yes, after the fact, I think $1 billion or so ended up being funneled into this research so that they could end up hoping to develop some kind of vaccine to fight where we're at. But a doctor at Vanderbilt actually said that without Dolly Parton's assistance in the beginning, that research might have never gotten off the ground. It turns out that her donation went toward the drug maker Moderna, and it started working on this coronavirus vaccine that seems to be making an impact on the fight against COVID-19. Of course, people had kind of forgotten a little bit that Dolly had donated $1 million to this vaccine fund that was being developed. But when the news came out that Moderna's new COVID vaccine seemed to have about a 95% effectiveness rate, people lost their minds. Twitter blew up, social media went crazy, and people wanted to call it the Dolly vaccine. Or in the vein of Jolene, they would say, vaccine, 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 vaccine. Of course, I don't think that they're going to end up calling it the Jolene vaccine. I do hope that they call it the Dolly Parton vaccine. Sounds a little weird, I guess, in probably 50 years, but it's an incredible legacy to have, to know that you were part of this. Of course, Dolly has mostly shrugged it off, saying that she just wanted to be a part of doing something larger and that she did no more than anybody else would. But the fact is that she did. There are plenty of people in the world that have millions of dollars, plenty of people in the world that have billions of dollars. And yet Dolly was one of the few that stepped forward and said, I want to help end this. Right now, we still don't have a COVID vaccine. I'm hoping that, you know, if you're catching up on this in 2021, that's kind of an afterthought. But we have this incredible story of this tiny woman with gigantic personality. I know, that was a dumb joke. I probably should have just skipped it. But this woman who has fought through so much in her life and kind of changed the game of how we see women in country music and women in music at large, who still at almost 75 years old, will she be on Playboy in January? That's the big question that we don't know. I wish we had saved that for like My Year with Dolly and a little bit extra. I doubt that we will stop seeing Dolly Parton anytime soon in the role of this human that is kind of pushing us forward as people in general. So that is a quick explanation of how Dolly Parton is helping to come up with a vaccine for COVID-19. Because, you know, what else have you done with your 2020? A lot of people at the beginning of this pandemic said that Shakespeare wrote King Lear in the middle of a pandemic. Well, Dolly's trying to cure one in the middle of a pandemic, so you and I really need to get started on that novel, don't we? With it being Christmas season, I did want our final album review to go over what I think are the best songs of Dolly Parton's Christmas albums, and I want to rank them in the process, but because it's Christmas, everyone is technically number one. You just have number one bronze, number one silver, and number one gold. If you guys are asking, what about her most recent studio album, I Believe in You, which is Dolly's only children's album, I've decided to forego reviewing that one because I've decided to forego reviewing that one. And that's my explanation. So, you know, don't judge me for who I am. At the beginning of Dolly's Christmas canon, we have Home for Christmas, and if I have it pulled up correctly, do you guys hear that typing in the background? Don't you love that? It's very professional. It is my favorite cover. The album came out in 1990, which is the year that I was born, so I'm a little partial to it for that reason. It is not my favorite. I'm giving it first bronze. Of the track list, though, I think that my favorite is something that I've said since the beginning. I love it when Dolly goes traditional, and I love it when she goes religious. And she does a cover of the song Go Tell It on the Mountain in this album that I think is just absolutely breathtaking. I know that for a lot of people, Christmas is kind of this secular kind of holiday that's just more Hallmark than anything. But I think for those of us that really value the idea that this is a celebration of Jesus' birth and the beginning of a whole religion that would go to spread across the entire world, Go Tell It on the Mountain is one of those triumphant songs that is beautiful and joyous and steps away from the stress of religion and faith and just celebrates what this holiday is about, and Dolly's rendition of it is absolutely breathtaking. In not second place, but first silver, we have her 2020 Christmas album, which came out with 2 months ago, called A Holly Dolly Christmas. There is a song with Michael Bublé called Cuddle Up, Cozy Down Christmas. And there seems to be this recurring story that comes up every single year about whether we should retire the song Baby It's Cold Outside, because it kind of has creepy, like, date rapey vibes. And I think that this is the year that we should do it, because Dolly Parton and Michael Bublé have given us a version of that same song where they just come together and honestly are saying, hey, you're hot, I'm hot, let's cuddle up, cozy down for Christmas. And you can fill in the blanks on what that means. But I think that Dolly's saying, get warm this year, y'all. You're not able to leave the house, so make the most of your time. On top of it, she has this rendition of Circle of Love, which was featured in her NBC film Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors, Circle of Love. And I think that it is one of the most powerful songs that Dolly has released in recent years. For the best of the Christmas albums, First Gold is what we'll call it, is Once Upon a Christmas. It is the duet album between Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. It came out in the mid-80s, I want to say 1984, might be 1986. But I think that for me, it is one of those albums that is just a textbook Christmas album. It is 1984, by the way. It is one of those textbook Christmas albums, and it's something that I always remember playing in the background growing up. My favorite of the songs on the album that is a duet is Christmas Without You, because I think it perfectly captures the 80s and Dolly and Kenny's relationship. But with that said, there is absolutely no better Christmas song on a Dolly album, on a Dolly Christmas album, on anybody's Christmas album than Hard Candy Christmas. A fun fact is that it was never really intended as a Christmas song. It was in the soundtrack for Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and it just ended up getting adapted to kind of become a sad person's Christmas song. I know that I use it as inspiration every year when trying to figure out what to do when I can't go outside after 4 p.m. because it's dark. Maybe I should dye my hair. Maybe I should go somewhere. Maybe I'll get a job. No, we'll skip that last one. But all of that is the rundown of Dolly Parton's Christmas albums. Like I said, the best of the best is Once Upon a Christmas. So if you get the opportunity to pull it up on Spotify, don't forget it this year, and play it in the background however you're celebrating the holiday season. For this last segment, we have been a little up and down on how much we have been doing partner words. And I think if I could go back and change the way that I did this podcast, I might make it a little more centric on having partner words be something that is consistent across the board. Something that I don't really think that I've told you guys much since I started is that I'd never done a podcast before. I'd listened to plenty of them, I'd guested on a few of them, but it's so much easier to sit and chat with somebody than it is to plan something like this out. I also made the silly mistake of going week to week, so when you were hearing an episode in January, it was being recorded a couple of days before. So I think that there are probably some things that I would change, and I've asked myself in my mind, you know, listen to me, that's what happens when you don't script things. I've asked myself before, did you maybe let Dolly down by not having a concrete plan, by practicing on Dolly's career instead of getting it right before you start telling this story? And I think the answer to that is no, because Dolly from 1967 when her first album came out and she really started taking off, has always been figuring it out, has always been getting a little closer to how to do things right. And like I was telling you, I've learned so much about Dolly in the past year and come to respect her beyond the songs that she came out with. I think about how Tennessee Mountain Home was probably my favorite song when I started this podcast. And then in going through all of her music, I think I have it down to two. I have I'm a Drifter, which I believe came out in 1974 on the All I Can Do album. And then I have the song Hello God, which came out, I believe, in 2003 on Halos and Horns. And I find myself so interested by the songs that I've chosen because I think that what's special about Dolly's songbook is that there is something for everyone to find. I'm a Drifter wasn't even a popular song for Dolly. It was more popular for Johnny Cash than it was for her. And Hello God, I almost feel like it is it's a diary page kind of tucked away in an album. So for me, it has been a gift to come across the messages that she's put in her music, because as much money as she's donated to the Tennessee wildfires or the coronavirus vaccine or the movies that she's come out with or the really funny quotes that she's known for, I think at the end of the day, I will remember Dolly most for what she said to us in her music and maybe some of the songs that we didn't pay attention to, because I think that's her true artistry and the contribution that she will most impactfully leave in the world are the loving things and the complicated nature of being human that she weaves in so much of her music. When I think about the entire process, though, I think that the thing that I am proudest of are the people that I have met along the way. The people that have taken time to send in their stories, all the way from my mom in that second episode, David Hoffman, the videographer that was there when she ended up joining the Opry, Mary Lane Haskell, who gave us information about Christmas on the Square before anybody else was talking about it, Willa Amai, who has sang with Dolly on the Dumplin' album, Reverend Taryn Strauss. I could go down the entire list and talk about these people, but that aspect of this podcast and those stories have been the parts that have spoken most dearly to my heart, because I think in the same way that so much about Dolly has come out through her music, what I have come to cherish most about my career and my life and this project is the stuff that I've learned about myself and the truths about life that have been revealed from the people that I've spoken to. So I guess my last part of partner words, and I act like I'm dying, I act like this podcast is never going to be around after this, but I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for listening. I want to say thank you for being a part of it, for sharing a piece of your life with me, and for being a part of my journey in a year that has been really, really weird. So yeah, that's my unfilled final parting words on how Dolly has affected my life. Because when I started, it was my first interview. I spoke to her in an English basement, was absolutely terrified, stumbled through the whole thing. She stopped me and asked me where I was from. And this year, in a time where I think I got really focused on going one place, Dolly, in her own way, stopped me again and asked me where I was from. And I'm so grateful for that. So we will end it before I say I'm grateful again, because that doesn't make any sense. and I will read from my script one more time this season. A giant thank you to Bramble Jam, the network that hosts this gigantic project about Dolly Parton. I will see you again soon with a new topic, or maybe not a new topic. If I can find more ways to talk about Dolly, I absolutely will. Shout out to the Petersons, who allow us to use their beautiful music to open and end each episode. You guys have to check them out. Their cover of Jolene is one of my favorites, and they're just so incredibly talented. So they're on YouTube. And of course, the biggest thank you of all is to Dolly Parton for your vaccines, for your music, for Jolene, for your movies, for everything in between. Without you, we would have none of this to talk about. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And there won't be an episode next week. There won't be an episode for about 2021 for a whole year at minimum. But keep hanging out and keep a watch out for me and keep a watch out for Dolly. From my Brooklyn Mountain home to yours, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for listening.
My Year with Dolly is hosted by Justin Kirkland and produced by Justin Kirkland and Brandon Gray. It's a part of the Bramble Jam Podcast Network. For more shows a part of the Bramble Jam Podcast Network, check out BrambleJamPodcast.com. To contact Justin with your Dolly story, email myyearwithdolly@gmail.com.